I'm Beth.
I'm Steph.
And this is Q&A.
Thanks for being here.
Yeah, I look forward to this all week, honestly. Just love our little, you know what someone said?
What?
That Q&A is like just like a chat together time, something like that.
Yeah.
So who said it about coffee? It's like just getting coffee with your girlfriends.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I need to have coffee during Q&A. I feel like that would just elevate the experience.
Wow, Beth.
You know what I mean? I already finished my coffee today, but I'm curious, are you guys drinking coffee?
I'm drinking coffee.
Are you just like, what do you do during Q&A? Are you doing stuff? Are you doing the dishes and we're just in your ear? Are you at work and you're just like, you got one window open? Like, what's happening?
Wow. I like the imagery.
I'm curious, you know?
Lunching
at work. Yes.
I've had people go live, like people I follow on Instagram. And they're like, grab your drink. We're going to be live. Grab whatever, your favorite
this
thing, and we'll
I'm
be
saying.
Live at this time. And I do. I like make my drink. I'm like, okay. It's usually my sisters trying on stuff.
But that is so
they always
cute.
Say, like, grab a drink and meet us for our live.
Renee, same. I just want coffee. Actually, it's not even in here.
It's okay. Go. I'll
distract
them. I
thought I had, like, two sips left. But
oh, you're
it's
done.
Not enough. You know, I have water, which is good. I'm going to commit to drinking my water.
Celie had cold brew this morning, and she's getting a chai.
Oh, okay. Squeeze me. You guys, I read something on Instagram last night.
About chais?
I read something just about, like, life hack stuff. Like, productivity, like efficiency, whatever, basically being an adult, being a more competent adult. And there were all these rules, okay, all these like tips and suggestions, and I am like all ears, you know, I'm like ready to hack my life.
We love a good life hack.
We do. And this guy said, get this, 10 hours before bed. And I was like, why? Squeeze me? Well, I knew this. I've heard this. Caffeine has a half-life. So even after X amount of hours, there's some equation. I don't really know.
Okay.
But I'm like I sometimes treat myself. Like if I've got an evening thing, I'll just have a little afternoon coffee. And I'm like, whoa, 10 hours before bed? Like I can't be having coffee past noon. I can't do it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going in for my afternoon cup at like 3 or 4.
Okay. So then you're going to bed at 1 a.m.
No, I'm not following his rule.
Steph, what?
But
this is science.
Guys, I was like, if I get a grande in the day, in the morning,
yeah.
then technically I'm getting less in the afternoon.
Listen, I want to be honest with you. I've never said this out loud, Steph. I'm saying this in front of a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
When I see you have a venti coffee, I am like scandalized. I'm like, that is so much caffeine. Even though I later have another small cup,
yeah.
there's something about seeing it all together that I'm like, that is a lot of coffee.
Yeah. Noelle, so
you
can
know?
I. It's actually.
You guys, you're lying
I need
yourselves.
To say this. Anybody else? I grew up, and I don't know if this is like a Hispanic thing, but before bed, my mom would make café con leche, which was basically instant coffee and milk warmed up with like a little sweet bread. And I would have that before, like an hour before going to bed. And
as a child.
I can go to bed. Yeah. I was like 9, 10.
First of all, that sounds really beautiful.
It was cute.
What are you talking about?
Café con leche. Put you to sleep.
I want.
That's the experience.
What are you saying? You want a little sweet bread?
Mm-hmm.
I do.
Yeah.
Okay. I had dinner with one of my best friends for my birthday. We went to this like fancy-ish restaurant that we love.
Mm-hmm.
And she's just international. She's lived all over the world. So we finish eating. It's late. And she's like, let's get dessert. I'm going to get a coffee. I'm like, you're going to have a coffee right now? It's like whatever time it was.
Yeah.
And the guy's like, we have decaf. I'm like, okay, I will do a decaf shot of espresso.
And just a shot?
Listen, I want to tell you something.
You're intense.
You guys, first of all, I love espresso. Second of all, I had a decaf shot of espresso. It came out in the cutest cup with like the most artistic clump of brown sugar and a lemon peel over the brown sugar. And I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
Is this a thing that you're supposed to do? And I was like, being such a tourist, I'm like, I'm going to put this in. I'm going to do it. It was the best coffee of my life.
Wow.
I've been dreaming about this decaf shot of espresso with a little crystal brown sugar and a zest of lemon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Everyone's having coffee in the afternoon.
Are you guys having coffee in the afternoon? Coffee before bed? What?
Decaf cup in the afternoon. It's very common in Eastern European cultures too to have some coffee before bed.
An hour before bed, no problem.
Yeah. Wow. Caffeine can put kids to sleep.
That's it. Maybe that's what your mom was doing.
Maybe that's why they know. Diana, we do have Spanish Devos and Spanish blogs. I dropped the link
for you. We do.
There's also a channel on this app, and it's for everyone. Everyone will have access. It's Proclama Mi Alma, and you can get the Devos that way, too.
I love when Steph says stuff in Spanish. It's so beautiful. Look who's over here on YouTube. Hi, Susie. Hi, Sarah.
Got volume on YouTube, but still can't get on the app.
Oh. Susie, come on over. It's working. We're here.
Head on over to the What's New you channel. Made
it. Hi, Susie.
Sorry. Oh, great.
I left you hanging so on late. There on YouTube so long. You figured it out. You're amazing.
Wow. Oh, Carolina. She liked our hair today.
Thank you.
I was just going to read Megan's comment. You go.
Well, I'm just going to talk about myself some more.
Okay, go ahead.
You guys, as I think many of you know, I'm on a curly hair journey. I decided to give it a year of trying to retrain my curls, embrace my natural hair. And I just didn't have time to do it. It's kind of a process, whatever. And so over the weekend, I was like, whatever, I'll just do it the way I used to do it, normal, straight. And I was like very thrown by my own reflection for like 3 days. Wow. I'm like, how did I always wear my hair like this? Like, I am starting to not make sense to myself without curly hair.
Wow.
It's kind of crazy. Anyway.
It's just the freedom of your natural hair. Megan said that when she was living in Italy, her dad got an authentic espresso machine.
Yes.
He used to steam a whole cup of milk for us with a drop of espresso and cinnamon before bed.
What do they call it? I've seen, like, what do they call them? Kidachino? Have you heard of this? Where it's basically like steamed milk with like, it's basically like hot mocha. Chocolate. Yeah. But they call it something so cute that like they, moms go and get their coffee and then they get like a kidachino or whatever it is.
I don't know. My kids I've let them taste it so that they cannot like coffee.
Stop.
No, they don't like it. Because they've tasted, they're like, I don't like that. I'm like, yeah, you don't like that.
Okay, Shalom, this is interesting. I wish I could do coffee in the morning, but it fuels my anxiety and it makes me jittery. I want to tell you why. I want to give you the science behind that.
Yes.
Because in the morning, your natural cortisol levels rise. Mm-hmm. That's what helps you to wake up. It's actually what wakes you from sleep is your cortisol rising. So you actually don't need coffee within the first 60 to 90 minutes of waking up because you're supposed to have your natural cortisol at work. If you do, you have too much cortisol. Mm-hmm. That's why. So if you just wait, you could wait till.
I'm already jittery in the mornings and trying to make it to, So I'm just like, let's add to it. Let someone join me.
Yeah.
But I also heard that like before coffee, you should just have like so many ounces of water.
This is it, you guys. Water before coffee. Water with lemon. Rhonda, you know how to live. That's right.
Oh, Renee doesn't have coffee until after exercise.
That's what I'm saying. I used to do coffee with prayer in the morning and then I stopped. I only do water with prayer and then I have coffee after prayer. It's kind of nice.
There's like a quote by a saint, right? Like coffee and prayer or something like that. I'll look it up.
Are you thinking about our Jose Maria Escriva candle that's like about prayer that smells like coffee morning time?
No.
Well, that's what I thought of.
Let them have prayer and coffee or something like that. Who said that?
What?
Can someone look it up so that doesn't real. Think I'm crazy?
No.
A saint said that.
Water with sea salt. Water with pink salt is very good too for electrolytes. Yeah. Very good, you guys. I'm just loving this. All these little life hacks, which is actually, like we're talking about efficiency in our lives and living with purpose and peace in our lives with a rule of life today.
Yeah. I have a question for you guys to ponder while we're thinking about our rule of life.
That's right. We're not there yet.
Just what was your New Year's resolution? Mm-hmm. And how's that going for you?
My resolution is going swimmingly.
Love.
Can I talk about it?
Yes, please.
My New Year's resolution. I don't normally do that. I do stuff with the Lord, but I don't normally have like a traditional New Year's resolution. I've shared with you already. My New Year's resolution was to make my bed every day. And I think I haven't done it maybe once or twice. Sometimes I like half make my bed. I like the bed is made, but the pillows, because there's a lot of pillows, you know, aren't all set up. But I heard this beautiful, I was very inspired by like a talk that I heard a couple of weeks ago about how essentially we're not doing enough penance for the conversion of sinners, like people in our own families. Then I went to Mass again, this interesting, and this priest, man, he's so holy, such a good preacher. He said, it was on the Feast of the Chair of St. Peter. And he said, if you, our Pope, our priests, our bishops are not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But if you are going to, what did he say? If you're going to criticize them, I demand that you pray and fast for them. I was like, what?
I love that.
Father Keith Kenny, classic.
Of course.
Classic Father Keith Kenny. Anyway, I mean, I have chills. I demand that you pray for them.
Yes.
And that you do penance and that you fast.
We can get into nitpicking our church.
Oh, for sure.
But like, then what are we doing?
Yes, 100%.
To build up.
Also, try praying for them and allow the Lord to soften your heart because you're not perfect either. Anyway, also, they need prayers.
Oh, my
gosh. That's just a point within a point. Kind of like the stories I like to tell all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, I was like, okay, Lord, I have this interesting thing with fasting, this thing the Lord is doing in me. So I'm like, what do you want me to do? Like, how can I pray and fast for these particular things? And he was like, just offer the sufferings of your life. This isn't like a conversation. It was just an understanding. Like, so I sacrifice making my bed every morning for an intention now.
Ooh.
It has elevated it from a New Year's resolution, you know, something I want to do to be better, to like win the morning, whatever. It's elevated it now. I don't actually want to do it. I don't want to do my dishes right away. I don't want to keep my house tidy. But these are things that we do anyway. So let's offer them as penance. Let's offer our sufferings, our own life, like the sufferings that come in life, the duties of our state in life. Let's simply offer those with intention
mm-hmm.
for people and things that need prayer.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. I've been having like a couple rough nights sleep with my baby.
Mm.
And I'm like, instead of complaining about it today, who can I offer up this tiredness for? And I did. And it made the day go by so much better.
No way.
Because my mentality shifted from like, this is now a sacrifice, like an offering I can make on behalf of someone else.
Yes.
Instead of me just complaining about what I didn't get.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It takes the focus from being like this turned in on ourselves to this more really our true, like natural mm-hmm. generosity. It's like others focused.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We talked about this a little bit, like when we were struggling, when I personally was struggling in my relationship with the Lord and mm-hmm. like my prayer life is like, he invited me to turn to praising him. And just having like this sense of gratitude for everything he has done, even though I'm in this season. And it helped me change my mindset from like, I'm in this dark place, I'm in desolation, Lord, blah, blah, blah. Fix my circumstances too. God, you're so good. Like, I don't know what's happening. I don't know what's going to happen or how you're going to do this, but I know you will take care of me.
Man.
And it's a radical way of just living our lives intentionally.
It's a renewal of the mind mm-hmm. for sure. It has so much to do with living our lives with intention. Mm-hmm. We're doing it anyway, but how can we do it? How can we add value to it, eternal value to it, by offering for other people? I was having a terrible allergic reaction, like an allergy flare up. And I was miserable during the rosary this morning. And I was like, I'm going to offer this as an intention. And immediately it like lifted. It became easier to bear because I was like bearing it with courage for another.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is. It's easier to bear.
Yeah.
It's not that serious, not that intense.
Yeah.
When we get to offer it.
I was actually joyful to like have something to do for a person.
I've felt that too.
To offer something mm-hmm. that is already going on. You know?
Totally. Wow. One way that I pray for priests is right after confession, Morgan says. One priest always asked for prayer and I implemented it for everyone.
Wow. That's beautiful.
We've been intentionally fasting on Fridays for Palestine and other war-torn countries. Wow. And to remind us, we eat vegetarian Middle Eastern food.
That's yummy. So cool. You're amazing.
Father Mike calls it the litany of life.
That's it. Yeah. Father Mark Mary, the CFR, he talks about like a life novena, that just for 9 days, you offer up the sufferings and the duties of your life for 9 days for a specific intention.
Wow. That's beautiful. One Lent a few years ago, I think I wasn't married yet. I just made a calendar of that. Like I printed out calendars for Lent and just every day in the calendar, I just put someone else's name and their intention. Cool. And so every day I knew that day I was going to be praying for someone. And it was really beautiful to do that. Yeah.
Kind of Megan does that. Megan does that. Megan, calling you out. Megan does that every day of the week, has a different intention.
I love it.
So it's just like her practice of offering. So cool. Wow.
Let's see. I've tried offering my stress and anxiety in the same way, and it makes it instantly lighter for me too.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. This is actually a very beautiful discussion. We were thinking of chatting about a rule of life today. And I have a very exciting announcement / giveaway that's only going to be happening when we move to the app in about 10 minutes. So if you want to hop off of YouTube and Facebook, if you want to be a part of that absolutely bananas giveaway that I think we're doing, and Megan's going to give me the go ahead in about 10 minutes, then you want to hop on the app. Steph, tell the people why we're talking about this today.
Why we're talking about the rule of life.
Yeah.
The rule of life.
Yeah.
Well, it all started with Beth's discernment about sharing a rule of life at our Phoenix Nights.
That's true.
Formerly known as Phoenix Nights. Now they're called Tend.
Love that.
So last night we got together in our local Tempe area.
Okay, sorry.
And
I just didn't want to
answer. Okay. We had a small group gathering with women, and Beth shared about this idea of having a rule of life and just living intentionally with the Lord, but also a good assessment of where have we been prioritizing our things, our duties, our responsibilities, even our hobbies, like what priority have we been giving to them, and how do we order these things so that we have peace and purpose? So we're sharing that today too, because it was just so good. We couldn't just have one talk. We needed to keep it going.
Well, I think sort of in the vein of, it's interesting you brought up New Year's resolutions. I think there's something in us, especially as women, that we're kind of always looking, we're always seeing opportunity in a positive light or lack in a negative light. And we're always kind of trying to tweak these things. But what I think a rule of life does is it gives us a framework. In fact, this is maybe the most exciting life-giving thing about a rule of life, that first of all, a little history. So we get this kind of practice of a rule of life from Saint Benedict. His for the Benedictine order is called the Holy Rule. It's about 1500 years old, and it's still used by Benedictines today. And it's been adapted over the years by lay people, by religious, some religious, I know, like the Poor Clares out here, they have an horarium, which literally just means a schedule or the hours. So it's kind of like their commitment of prayer and work and rest that orders their days. And they live guided by that. So the word a rule of life, R-U-L-E, is actually translated from the Latin. It's closer to the word trellis, that like holds up a vine. So it holds it up and it helps it to spread out in all the right directions, get enough like air and room and height. It protects it from predators and diseases, and it helps support and structure the vine so it can bear the maximum amount of fruit, good fruit. Isn't that beautiful? And it's the same concept. It's the same truth when we order our life, order our days around a rule of life. It helps us to prioritize the most essential thing, which is Jesus Christ, and the particularity of our call, his call in our lives, our vocation, our prayer primarily, our relationships. It gives us that structure and support so that we can bear much fruit.
I'm excited to get into it.
Me too.
You like casually asked a question yesterday to the group, and I stuck with that. And
what was it?
Well, I'll tell you.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're saving it for the app.
I'm saving it for the app.
Wow. Are you trying to get over there early?
I am, because I feel like this is going to be a good combo.
Okay. And you just want to get into
it.
Just
want to get into it.
Going.
This is your 10-second warning to head on over to the app. Can we do that?
Love that. Come on over, gals. Susie, you're already over there. Sarah, join us. All you folks, come on over to the app. See ya.
Bye.
Bye. Wow, Steph. You are ramping,
Beth,
to talk
yesterday,
about
yesterday.
Yeah.
You asked us to ask the Lord one question.
Yeah.
What time am I going to pray?
Yep.
And I was just like, wow. I'm so good at syncing my calendars on my phone, on my laptop, even like with my husband, we have like a set calendar. I'm part of so many calendars.
Yeah.
And when things need, like, I'm very, like, I don't know, intense about our calendars. Like everything has to be in the calendar. If it wasn't on the calendar, it's because it wasn't important. And now it's just that day's fair game. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, why do I not have that set practice, that of setting time with the Lord every day? And I've shared, like, you know, I have kids and not every day looks the same. And but I think that I'm in a place where I need to have order in my prayer time with the Lord, where it's not something that gets squeezed in or just checked off, but that it's the most intentional part of my day.
That is it, Steph.
And then everything else flows from it. So I was just sitting there. We had adoration and I was just sitting there in front of the Lord. I'm like, what? And I didn't say, okay, is this going to work? Is this going to work? Is this going to work? I sat there and I said, what time should we pray?
Totally. Not am I going to do it?
No.
When am I going
to
do it?
And what do you want me to do instead of me pitching you my ideas? Wow. Because I feel like, again, when it comes from me, it's force and it's my plan.
Totally.
But I feel like, I think he is inviting me to contemplate this. So I'm trying to just honor that he, it's an invitation from him to be in relationship with him. So like, what time do you want to meet up?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Okay. So I just want to zoom out for a moment because you're getting to the heart of it, which is what time are you going to pray?
Yeah.
That is for me, the point of a rule of life is being intentional about the most important thing. Notice I said thing, not things. Remember, priorities is a made up word. Priority means one thing. And that one thing is Jesus Christ. And prayer is our relationship with Jesus Christ, with God the Father, with the Holy Spirit. So a trellis, a rule of life, supports and structures our day around the most important thing, which is our relationship with God in prayer. And if we don't prioritize that one thing, we will try to fit it in other places. And there's, you know, conventional, like, psychological wisdom around building habits, that to develop a habit, you have to do something at the same time, in the same place every day. And I think that is the greatest life hack to building your rule of life around, is determining when you're going to pray, at what time, in what place, every single day. Those three things. So I got this from a book that Megan had shared with me called The Mother's Rule of Life. So taking that idea of the Benedictine rule, the holy rule, or the orarium, which is what religious orders use to order their day, and instead applies it to the needs and the concerns of lay people, particularly mothers. And she gives five categories to kind of create a rule of life around. First of all, prayer. Because prayer is primary, relationship is primary. So if this one thing, the most important thing, is not on your trellis, if your day is not built around that number one thing, everything else is going to be a scramble. So it's about ordering our priority, our life around our priority, and our priority is, first of all, prayer. Do you remember the second one?
Yes.
What was it?
Your person.
Whoa. Tell them about that. Look at Megan.
Look at her.
Here she is. Yeah.
Just ourselves, taking care of ourselves. And you said something so easily that wrapped it all up. It's like, you can't give what you don't have for yourself. And so we need to take care of ourselves before we're able to be in community or give of ourselves the best we can to other people.
Mm-hmm. So that's health, that's sleep, That's hydration. That's what else, Megan?
You said getting a good haircut.
Yeah, get a haircut, gals. Mm. Why are we always like, there's this kind of modern martyrdom of.
That's me.
Yeah, I would say motherhood often, yeah. You know? But also this like workaholic, this ungodly workaholic striving hustle culture that I think is in the water. You know what I mean? And it's like, mm-hmm. Oh, everything else is urgent. So like, I don't need a haircut. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not even a haircut, but Megan said it, making appointments.
That is it.
I can tell you when my kids have dentist appointments, yep. Doctor's appointments, months out. Cause I make sure that those are always penciled in.
Yeah.
Me? I didn't even go to my 6-week postpartum appointment. Yeah. Because I'm like, it's just not a priority to me, yeah. But like also yeah. I was telling Beth, like I would love to go, you know, get a checkup and see how my totally. Hormones are after having.
Yeah. Yeah. Get some blood work.
4 kids. Yeah. I know where my blood's at, you know? So like, but I don't make that a priority, yeah. But I need to. And also, and this is something that's going to help my kids see that mom goes to the doctor, dad goes to the doctor too, to make sure that they're good and they're taking care of themselves. Or not even just goes to the doctor, but like exercising, getting good sleep, so like true. They will see that modeled before them. And yeah. Like that's a gift that we can give to our kids as well.
Yeah. Diana says, exactly. Myself is not mm-hmm. urgent. I'm always looking to meet everyone else's needs. I think that's pretty common among women. And we got into this a bit last night, and we're going to get there in the P's, but often the needs of children, I would say always the needs of children feel urgent.
Yeah.
Whereas you can suffer through, you yeah. can put yourself on the back burner all day, but that has a cost. Mm-hmm. You're going to end up paying for that. You can only push so far before. I'm not trying to sound like doomsday, but
I mean, we're just giving like the scraps at that point.
Yes. You know? Burnout takes a long time to recover from, mm-hmm. you know, your health takes a long time to pull back and bring back to just baseline, not even optimal, mm-hmm. but baseline. So we have to honor God by honoring our bodies, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I want to go back to P real quick, to prayer. Sorry. Yeah. Cheryl said, I had a thought about that. Yeah. Part of me felt bad that I pray later in the day. Usually evening, mm. like I'm not giving him my first fruits. But then I thought about this last night and I realized I am, because I'm giving him my best time. I know mornings is going to be unfruitful.
That's beautiful, Cheryl. The Lord did that for you, mm-hmm. gave you that grace, that inspiration. Our friend Claire Dwyer described first fruits as the first time that is my own, the first time that I can choose to do with my time what I want to do. So for many mothers, that is not the morning. That is 1 o'clock when the kids go down for a nap. Now, I could get on my phone. I could do work. I could get caught up on chores. Mm-hmm. Or I could spend 15 minutes with the Lord in prayer. That's giving him the first fruits of the time that is yours to do with what you mm-hmm. will. And it sounds like that's what you're doing. You are giving him the first fruits of your best, most attentive time.
Yeah. Let's see. Prayer comes first thing every morning. I'm interrupted, but that comes with living in a family, which is my vocation. Love Intentional that. About prayer has been the best thing I have done for my relationship with Jesus. Yes. I credit Mary for this. Wow. It started when I decided to pray the rosary each day during Lent about 5 years ago.
Wow.
Mary took that time and presented my heart to Jesus and the Holy Spirit.
Our Lady.
Yeah.
She will do it. She will give you what you need.
Yeah. Yeah. Heather says, even just building one self-care habit yes, at a time Heather. Can be life-changing. It started with scheduling regular haircuts and has transformed into so much more for me.
That's awesome, Heather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what? And I think sometimes we feel like it'll be an inconvenience to others, you know, like, for example, my phone goes on sleep mode at 10 o'clock.
Wow.
And I used to feel bad about that. I'm like, what if yeah. someone is trying to get a hold right. of me and I don't get notified?
Yeah.
But then people learn you. And, you know, I'll have like, if my niece is up needing help with her homework, I'm like, you got to FaceTime me before 10, because usually I'm not going to see that. And so you just kind of start to, yeah, prioritize yourself yeah. a little bit and people will follow. So just have that permission that like you can set these things for yourself and people will learn your what you are prioritizing.
I mean, you could describe that as boundaries, which mm-hmm. is important and healthy. But again, I would go back to that word rule as trellis, mm-hmm. provides support and structure.
Yeah.
The truth mm-hmm. is, like, we're having these loosey-goosey schedules, late nights, you know, we're making all these exceptions for things. And who suffers? Well, first of all, if you're anything like me, like, prayer was the first thing to go, that 30 minutes that I could pray whenever I wanted. That would go, because I'm going to mass, I'm doing other things at certain times. But like my relational prayer, my paying attention to mm-hmm. God, my just being with him, my heart prayer, that was the first thing to go. Mm-hmm. And also taking care of myself, because everything feels urgent. It's not.
It's not, guys.
It's not. Yeah.
The Lord has been inviting me to prayer exactly when my kids nap instead of catching up on housework. Starting that today.
Praise God. Shalom.
I didn't even consider that until I was just talking about it with Beth and Jenna yesterday. Mm-hmm. And Beth was like, why don't you just, those first 15 minutes that they're napping, just pray. Like,
well, I think, yeah. I want to say it's Father Parks who says this, but it's probably just like a saying. Perfect is the enemy of the good. Is that, have you heard that before?
No, but I like it.
Okay, so here's the thing. If you, Steph, or any of you, you have an ideal of what you want prayer to be. You want half an hour to an hour. Mm-hmm. You want it to be in this space, whatever. And if you can't have that, you don't have any. But what if you just gave him 10 or 15 minutes of attentive time? He's God. Mm-hmm. Grace is supernatural. It's going to overflow in you beyond what our human value mm-hmm. would be assigned to 10 minutes. I said that kind of weird, but I think you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. Celie says, creating a rule of life is hard since I'm a first year student in college and the unpredictable things about it is hard.
Totally.
Yeah. I had the opposite experience. My first year of college was when I had the most discipline in prayer.
Wow.
Like, I was praying the liturgy the hours four wow. times a day. I was going to daily mass. But at the same time every day,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And it worked for me. But then I got into that. Oh, well, now years later, it doesn't look like this. So what am I even doing with my time? Yeah. So I would just, Celie, I would maybe even just map out what you do every week. And where is like the regular
yeah,
space?
That's good.
Where you can know that, dedicate and assign that to your time with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Can I comment on that?
Yeah.
I think maybe the hack to all the hard work of figuring out when we should pray is just to ask the Lord, mm-hmm. when should I pray? It's what you did last night. What time should I pray? Yeah. And he might bring something to mind and you're like, whoa, I would have never considered mm-hmm. that place or that time. Maybe it's on your commute home and you pass a Catholic church. Maybe you have to go a block out of the way, but you could stop there for 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. Maybe that would be a real blessing to you to have a break and some decompression after work. You know what I mean? Ask him. He knows what's best.
I love that. Mm. One adjustment I have to make in mind is that I am not a bad mother if I take time for myself. No, wow. I am a busy grad student and work wow. part-time and watch my toddler from home. We hired a part-time nanny for a while I'm in class. Good. I struggled at first to take time for a quiet time after class while the nanny was still here wow. watching my son.
Yeah.
But then I realized that taking time for myself with God would allow me to show up in love to my son for the rest of the afternoon. I need to be filled. Yeah, Cassie, it's so good that you made that a gift, not only for yourself, but for your son, that you're able to just come down from your schedule and that time that you were studying before so that you can focus and give all of your attention to hanging out with you. It's okay. Jackie says, I have been having the hardest time mm-hmm. justifying my hair care. I'm going to try to make an appointment today. The conversation is so blessed.
Wow. Praise God, Jackie.
Jackie, I agree. I'm just like, all of my sisters are always going to get their hair done and it looks so good. And I'm just like, I just don't like I can't justify going to the hair salon for myself when I can use that money on like whatever, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But it, maybe it's as simple as like buying yourself a new, like a fancy conditioner and shampoo and, or like a hair scalp treatment and doing it at home. You know, it doesn't have to, you don't have to be all or nothing.
Can I tell you something that's so funny? But I was in the, I shower at night usually. And I mean, almost always. And I was in the shower one night recently and I was just like going through, you know, you have your like routine of all the stuff you do and the order that you do it. And the Lord was just like do it slower. And it like kind of wrecked me, Beth, to be honest.
I can cry.
Do it slower.
Yeah.
Like could a shower actually feel, I feel like I could cry. Mm-hmm. Could a shower actually feel refreshing, like washing away the day? Could it feel like self-care instead of a chore that I get through on my checklist mm-hmm. of things to do at night? He's like, just like putting conditioner slower. Yeah. Like be gentle with yourself.
Mm-hmm. You know what everything. I
mean? Yeah.
That's like one of my favorite gifts that my husband gives me. It's a nice long and uninterrupted shower. And I'll even have some oils in the bathroom. And it's just, you know, everyone's laying down and asleep at that point. And I'm just like, I'm not in a rush. Mm-hmm. Like, this is just, you know, you kind of feel like when Cinderella is getting dressed and like the little birds are helping her and stuff. Like you're just tending to person.
Yeah.
But
it doesn't have to have cost associated with it. Self-care, I think in like, you know, self-care on Instagram is all about products. Mm. It's all about materialism, mm-hmm. consumerism. But this is like, can we just do things with more gentleness? Can we do them more slowly? Can we honor our bodies?
Yeah. Chilo asked me that the other day. He's like, why are you always in a hurry? Or why are you in a hurry right now? And I'm just like, I don't know. I'm just always operating in like go mode.
Yeah.
And like, we have nothing planned for the rest of the day. I don't know why I'm like rushing through trying to get the kids' rooms vacuumed and this and laundry and that. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh yeah, I need to remember, like, just slow down.
Well, I think we're kind of used to like, there's always more to do. So I've got to get through this because mm-hmm. there's always more, you know, the tyranny of the urgent.
Ooh. Ruth Ann said, I look back when my kids were little and realized they became kind of like a bunch of distracting idols. Wow. I did too much.
Yeah.
Things that were not necessary, creating more business and exhaustion. Then I learned to say no a lot, then prioritize my relationship with God, then my husband, then children.
Yeah. Ruth Ann, you said so much there. Wow. So relationship with God. Let's not skip ourselves. Mm-hmm. I want to put that on your radar, Ruth Ann. And then you got us into the next P. The next P in those five P's, as you're considering your rule of life, your trellis around which you structure and support your calling, your life, the next P would be partner. So that's where marriage comes. You cannot love and serve someone mm-hmm. when you are burnt out, exhausted, anxious, and frankly, resentful. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Yeah. So prayer is the first and only priority. But then the right order of things after that is your person and then your partner.
We're working on that one over here.
Yeah, well, this is tricky. And I felt a little shy to talk about it last night because I'm a single woman. You know, I would say most of my friends have small children. And so I do have a peek behind the curtain, but I don't know, like in my body, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And this rule of life, which was written by a mother, this mother's rule of life, to say prayer person. Okay. That is like nuclear, then partner, then parent. Then parent. That seems counterintuitive or maybe impossible. Yeah. Maybe you could speak to that.
Just seems impossible sometimes. But honestly, I want my kids to have a modeled vocation to them, that it's something that they want. I don't want them to see their mom and dad as like co-parents trying to tackle the next thing, the next thing, the next thing.
Yeah.
I want them to see what a good marriage looks like, where we prioritize each other, because if they, you know, God calls them to that vocation, they'll know what that looks like instead of, I grew up very, or taught very much that I can take care of myself. I don't need other people to take care of me, take care of my kids, work hard, go. And it's taking a lot of undoing for me.
Wow.
And even just kind of that permission to like go against the grain here, even within my family or within my culture that, well, actually my husband should come before my kids. Wow. And the best thing I can give my kids is that example of a healthy, holy marriage.
And not even an example, the love and security that comes from your parents being one.
But also like even have fun as a couple.
Yes.
You know, that like parenting can be fun, but also our marriage can be fun.
Yeah. Wow.
So that's something that the Lord has been kind of rewiring it within me this past year, especially, is just like this restoration of my marriage in the sense that like it's not business as usual. It doesn't have to be what it's always been. Yeah. Like even though my husband and I have operated from always tending to the kids and the next thing and the next thing, like we are not confined to that lifestyle, that the Lord can restore our union and make it so that, you know, we are prioritizing our relationship, our vocation. We're having fun. We're being best friends with each other. Wow. So we're not desiring that, you know, like, oh, like I'll finally have a mental break when I go hang out with my girlfriends.
Yes.
Like, my best friend lives in my home, you know? And so the Lord is really showing me that that can happen, that it's not too late. You know, that we've been married for going on 8 years now. And what's time for the Lord? You know, what's 8 years to the Lord? Like he can make all things new, truly.
I mean, I'm sorry. I'm still just crying about my best friend lives in my home.
Yeah.
What? Steph, do you guys have a date night?
We don't have one as often as we'd like, but we do have one, like at least, I'm not going to say how often because it's not
enough.
It's like once a month, but it's not, we would love to get to the point, and we've talked about this, just like with sitters and ministry and all the other things.
Totally.
Realistically for us, it would be like going out on our own every other week, like twice a month.
Wow.
Yeah. We can't do every week right now.
Steph.
Sitters, kids, crazy. But we do, we have started to be intentional about the time we have together.
Yeah.
So like our kids go to bed at 8:30. For the most part, have always gone to bed at that time too. I'm just like laid there and rested while I put my baby down. But then my husband would be like watching TV because he's getting home from work, you know? And so that was always the norm. But now it's like, well, we're getting home and the kids are all asleep, so let's hang out for like a 30 minutes or an hour, watch a show, talk, call some friends. We were doing that last night. I got home and all the kids were asleep. And so Chilo was FaceTiming Derek and Taylor. And I was just, you know, there hanging out and talking to them for a little bit. Things that we don't normally get to do, but that's because I didn't go straight to shower, straight to my room, straight to bed. You know, I kind of made it a little point to hang out and be intentional with my husband.
Steph, I think you guys should do twice a month.
I do too, Beth.
Like, I think you should write it in your rule of life.
Ooh.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So John Mark Comer, who's a Protestant pastor he was in Portland. Now he's in California. He writes a lot. He's built like a whole ministry outside of his church about called like practicing the way. And it's all these like practices. And one of them is to create a rule of life.
Mm-hmm.
And he's deeply influenced by Catholicism. He like goes to spiritual direction at like at a Catholic seminary. He's always quoting this way. So he adopted this rule of life for his congregation, for this ministry. And he speaks about a part of their rule of life is a date night once a week and an overnight once every 3 months.
Mentally, I'm not there, but wow.
It might be, I might be making it up.
That's intense.
It could be a week. I want to say it's a night. And a night away is like the kids go and spend the night at their grandparents' house and they're at home together.
Yeah.
It's not a vacation. It's not like necessarily going to a hotel, you know, but there's one that's like every year, however many years, they do like
a trip.
A trip.
Scary.
But you know what? I think the beginning of that trellis of prioritizing your marriage in right order is
like the date night.
Is moving up a date night from once a month to once every other week. Yeah. You know what I mean? Don't start. This is a part of his wisdom, and we talked about this last night. Start small and be specific. Like, you're not ready to go away for a week, you know, yeah. But could you bump up your date night from once a month to twice a month? You know,
the answer is yes.
Yeah.
Megan says, yes, kids are a fruit of vocation, but marriage is the actual sacrament.
That's it, Megan. Ooh. That is it.
Wow.
I just am like, I know, again, I'm on the outside, but it seems very obvious from the outside, objectively, that your children are going to grow up and leave. You are going to live with your spouse for the rest of your life. You cannot lose one another. You cannot grow so far apart that you won't be able to maintain your marriage after your children leave. I think we've all experienced that, a lot of us, in our own parents' relationship. Yeah. It's not a virtue to kill yourself for your kids. In fact, it's not only a bad example of marriage and parenthood for them, it actually puts a lot of pressure on them that they're like, they need to know that you're happy and that life is joyful and life with the Lord is beautiful and an adventure, that it's not killing yourself serving children.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I hope I'm not speaking to you.
No, I love it. Susie said, as a widow, I miss my best friend. I'm so glad I prioritized him.
Oh, Susie.
I'm so glad you shared that, because I'm like, I really, you know, I have my husband with me. I want to, I want to say, I'm so glad I prioritized him, and vice versa.
Susie, I will never forget when you dragged Gary to was it a parish mission I was speaking at, and I got to meet him. I really cherish that.
Oh,
you so witnessed that, Susie, the love of your husband, the honoring of your vocation. It's a very beautiful witness to me.
Jackie says, my husband and I have Tuesday and Thursday nights as we are hanging out at home.
Cool.
Nights. Like, he's not playing video games with his friends. I'm not reading or writing or watching by myself. That's nice to know.
Good.
Nice to know when we're hanging out together.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine are usually Sundays and Tuesday nights.
That's cool.
When he gets home and we're hanging out. Steph, we do and did Fridays when kids were little. So we went shopping, haha, but kids quickly caught on and would say, what are you doing for date night? We never realized the message we were gifting of how important our time together alone was.
So cool, Wendy.
For Valentine's Day, which was also Ash Wednesday.
Yeah.
Since we've had kids, my husband and I have never, I mean, we don't really celebrate holidays, but we never did anything for Valentine's Day for us. Like every year, he like has a tradition of like getting the kids little gifts, the same gift every year. But we never, so my husband sent me a text while he was at work, and he's like, hey, by the way, this evening, like, we're going to go out to dinner. And part of me was like, what about the kid? You know, but I was like, great. That's awesome. He's like, I already have a sitter lined up. She's going to come over to our house. And it's like, my kids ask for babysitters. Okay. They're like, when are we going to get a sitter? So we went out to dinner, and I literally told him, I'm like, we've never, like, my kids saw me getting ready. They saw a sitter coming. They saw their dad getting ready.
Wow.
And they're like, oh, you guys are going to go out. I said, we're going on a date. He's like, because you guys are in love.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, yeah, we are. And it was just like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, we shouldn't be leaving. Like, let's just stay home. It's Ash Wednesday. We're not going to be able to eat. We went to like this really great sushi place, and it was a lot of fun. We were back an hour before we had told the sitter, because I'm like, I'm ready to go home.
Yeah.
But like the end of our date was him going to buy this, like the little, they're called little squishmallows, the little toys for the kids. And we were just hanging out at a toy store, and then we went back home. But that, like, my son was like, oh, this is what a date is. This is what it looks like. You know, like, you guys are going out because you're in love. And I'm like, yeah.
Wow. Just on the off chance that anyone who is single is watching, and maybe you're feeling like a little ache as we talk about this.
Mm.
I just want to say I see you. You are not alone. I just turned 41 and I'm single, and I am eagerly awaiting my vocation, praying all the time for my husband. But I'm not, this isn't like a pointless or empty season. So I started going on a date night with the Lord every week on Wednesday. I talked about it a bit on the podcast. I don't know if that was last week or next week. So I share more there, but yeah, I started, I go to, on Wednesday nights, I go to confession, I go to mass, and then it's so fun. We go out to dinner and he never tells me in advance where we're going to go. He picks every time. And in the beginning, I was like very anxious. Like, where are we going to go? How long is it going to take? You know, I don't, just silly stuff, because I was thinking about doing stuff by myself. I wasn't allowing him to take me on a date, you know? Yeah, I just turned 41. Yeah. Anyway, I started to like get it. Like, I would go to mass, I would be present during mass in the beginning, again, kind of anxious, like, what's the plan? But now, like, he doesn't tell me where we're going to dinner until either like after Holy Communion or like after mass. And always it's like, I'll see the sign or I'll see the interior of a restaurant. And it's always somewhere so incredibly thoughtful. I've like cried about it. Like, you care that I like that place? Lord, that place is like 25 minutes away. Like, you want me to drive there? What should I listen to on the way there? And he's like, listen to the Hamilton soundtrack. And I'm crying with joy because I'm so known and loved because I've set aside this time with him. And he's really like romancing me. He's like being, he's being my husband in these years. So you're not alone. Anyway,
I just love that you said that, Beth, because I think it's important that you, that you can say, I'm eagerly awaiting to meet my husband, but this time is not just idle time. Yeah. Like, there's still good and fruit and blessing and graces that come from this time until you meet your husband, which is like, I think, I don't know, I'm thinking about it. Like, you know how to date.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
You know how to
honestly
date.
The Lord is like very much teaching me how to like be vulnerable, how to let myself be loved, how to let someone make a big deal of me. Whereas, yeah, I think like, well, I don't know. It makes me kind of nervous or time passes and I'm like, I don't, yeah, I don't know how to be loved like that. But the Lord is my husband. Isaiah 54. Your maker is your husband. That's true for everyone, not just married, not just single women or religious. That's every single soul.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can we get into the next P?
Yeah. So the last P, in fact, Megan, I just want to double check your comment. We're all in the clear for the big giveaway announcement. Okay, great. The last P is provision. So that's where your work comes. And I just think, you know, biblically speaking, that's a temptation. That's a result of the fall, is for work to be all consuming. And what I find interesting is that it's actually a masculine temptation. This is the temptation for Adam, is to be like toiling, blood, sweat, and tears in work, in this like responsibility to provide. And so provision comes much higher up than it should.
Yeah. I think, even I like that provision is last, because it requires like the first, like the prayer time, the full trust in the Lord, that like the provision is going to come from him. And like, we can work our tails off until we're tired and we're just beat and we're just laying in bed with nothing else to give. But ultimately, like, what we receive is what the Lord gives us. And I think about that, like, in all of my work and in anything that I get to be a part of, is that this is not me. The only thing I bring is like baggage of sin. Like, the Lord is the one that makes all things good.
Wow.
And that my work, he blesses and fruit comes from it. And sometimes we get to see it and sometimes we don't. Wow. And that's for the Lord to decide when he wants to show us those fruits. But I think it's very important to not get caught up in like, what are we producing? You know, and like, how can I produce more? Like, we're in this mindset, I think, sometimes of trying to overproduce or trying to overwork. I know I struggle with that, but ultimately, like, the Lord will bless all of our work. when it's oriented properly.
Can you scroll up? I want to read Heather's comment here. I've been feeling a lot of guilt for having boundaries at my work regarding my hours. And I feel like this is a little nudge that I'm doing this the right way. Mm-hmm. I'm not making my work my life. I'm so proud of you, Heather. Yes, that's true. The Lord's been nudging me. Like, put your computer away. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't. Yeah, it's a temptation. I think it's a temptation for everyone. So for you, the moment you get time, you're like, oh, I got it. Cause I've been with the kids.
Yeah.
Now I've got to do my work. Mm. And I'm the opposite. It's like, well, I have more time than the average person. So I should be working more.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
This is obviously the tip of the iceberg,
right?
You know? Yeah, mm-hmm. This is the tip of the iceberg, but there's some good stuff out there if you want to read more about a rule of life. Listen, we're winding down our conversation. I hope this was fruitful for you. I feel like there was a lot of like practical stuff here. But I do want to share something very special and awesome. There are 118 of you. I'm not sure how we're going to do this. You have to go all the way to the bottom. I'm going to have to be watching the comments. Something kind of sad, but also kind of miraculous happened today. Mm-hmm. We found out that a wonderful woman who was going to be doing the well starting tonight, Megan's Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern group, is not able to do that time anymore and had to vacate that spot. So we are able to offer one free spot in the well, but it starts tonight. Megan's Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern group. Sorry, 9 p.m. Eastern.
What is the commitment?
So the commitment is 8 weeks. The Well Mentorship Program is an 8-week kind of retreat within your daily life. And it's all about intimacy and identity in the context of a community, a small group of 9 other women and 1 facilitator. So if you feel called to do the well, again, starting tonight, that would be a free spot, a $450 scholarship to do the well Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern starting tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Megan, are you keeping track here? Do you want to DM Megan your email address? Perfect. Is that okay, Megan? Oh, thanks, Vanessa. Thank you so much for being here. I know the time difference. That's the thing. It's a challenge with the time difference. Lexi, totally. I'm always telling women, like, sign up for Megan's group, honestly, because I have Megan. Megan facilitates my well every day of my life. Literally, she's my life well facilitator.
Ooh. All right. I'm DMing you my email, Megan.
Stop, you already did it.
With Megan, I haven't.
Okay, so... Perfect. Yes. DM Megan on the Blessed Is She app and she'll get you set up. One person set up for $450 scholarship to starting do the well
tonight.
For the next 8 weeks starting tonight. So do not DM her if you are not able to commit to 8 weeks. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Woo! Come Holy Spirit.
Yeah. DM Megan. Only if you're able to commit to Tuesdays at 9 p.m. Eastern for the next 8 weeks. Say a little prayer. We're going to just entrust the well this round, not just this one scholarship spot, but we're going to entrust the well and all of you to Jesus through Mary. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death.
Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
This was
all right,
great.
Gals. See you later. Grateful for you.
Thanks so much.
Can't wait to see one of you in the well.
Ooh.
Well, 30 of you are doing it.
Bye. Bye.